where we're at these times. Now, right now, you know, he warns us in Revelation that at one point, Babylon is going to be nothing but a cage of every unclean bird. You know, he calls us out. So there's going to be a time when you can't be in the system at all. I don't know when that time is. Who knows? I just don't know. And I suppose even Dave Wilkerson will be overcome if he doesn't get out by that time. You know, so I mean, Dave Wilkerson has his faults. About every two or three newsletters I get from him, I think are wacko. You know, they're just not right. I mean, he still believes in the great revival somehow. That's going to come up. Still come to pass. I mean, he sometimes he says one thing, and then the next letter newsletter he says something else. You know, but he also has a lot of. Sometimes he has very good words. Right now, for me, I consider him a solid brother in the Lord, with all his faults. But he's in danger if he stays in that system to the end, just like everybody else is in danger. He ain't special. So, but as far as the whole clergy lady thing, that's been going on for a long time. There's been a lot of good pastors who've been part of that. Okay, that's my point. Okay, Rebecca, gonna talk. Go ahead, Rebecca.
About the churches today and the way the whole system is set up is, I think it discourages a personal relationship with the Lord more than anything. I had an experience this week where I talked to a man that came to the office and talking about the Lord and how the Lord was helping him, you know, blessing his business and what have you. And I started talking to him about, you know, the relationship with the Lord. And first thing he talks about is going to a church or his service, not letting his business be, you know, so busy that he fails to go to church. And I said, no, about your personal relationship with the Lord. You know, the church itself, we can blame it on the Catholics. You have to go to a father to pray, and that seems more obvious to us than what the whole church system seems to produce. You go into a church building, you come in, they tell you to sit down, shut up, listen, and I'm going to teach you something, and you feel like, you know, you're getting everything from the man up front. You sing when they tell you to sing. You sit down when they tell you to sit down. And then you leave and you think, well, you know, I fellowshiped with the Lord and now I did my duty. It's just the whole, or if you want to get saved, they sit there and they tell them, you've got to come up here to the altar to get saved. Coming to a man to pray to an altar rather than, is it not a relationship with a person and their God? And you cannot surrender it to any man like that. It has to be to the Lord. It just, it takes away from people's personal relationship with the Lord. And anybody that keeps encouraging that, we learn from each other. We have our elders. We have the pastors that, you know, we call them pastors. We have elders in the Lord to help keep people on track as they are searching for, you know, searching out truth in the scriptures themselves, and someone there to help guide them if they go off. But to try to get all your food from somebody else, have to be at a certain place, just the whole system itself just completely overrides as much, you know, where people don't feel like they have to do a lot of the studying on their own or reading or finding, you know, find the Lord. And really, coming out of the church, sometimes, and then we turn around and we find out that those that have come out are trying to build the same kind of thing themselves outside the system. We just have to be careful that it's the Lord who we follow. You know, we told, you know, Peter or Timothy said, you know, you need no one to teach you. You have an unction from the Holy One. And we just need to really believe that. Anyways, thank you.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Rebecca. My own? Yeah, okay. I missed the first 30 seconds of what you said because my headphones weren't working. I'm sorry. But what I heard was, you know, was good. Wait a minute. It is the time we are in, and the error of the system is being exposed. Otherwise, we would wander right back into the church system. That's right. Do the people in this room feel that it's always been what it is right now? Or do you realize there's a time when it wasn't always like this, when there were people who went to church but also followed the Lord, had a personal relationship? That's all I'm asking. Because I don't know if anybody even thinks there was a time when people could actually show the Lord in the church. It seems like we're all saying that there's nothing ever any good in the church. And if anybody that went to the church didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I'm hearing that right or not. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong. I mean, we're not saying that anybody who goes to church can't even show the Lord, right? There's a lot of gray area there. But where it starts getting black because that time's over. The time for gray is over. The sister's being completely overtaken, and all the people who are in the sister are being overtaken by spirits. And that's a whole different situation now. So right now, I would say, hey, if you're still in church system, there's a good chance you're not going to make it right now. There's a good chance you're already overtaken by spirits, and if you stay there much longer, you probably won't make it. But I don't think that was true 50 years ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jim says, it's as you taught tonight, taught, there's an outpouring. Yes, there is. That's right. That's why I say, this, what we're, the time we're living in now is different. Okay? Something shifted in the 70s, and we went from like Little League Baseball to jungle warfare, okay? And because nobody understood there's a change in God's economy, a change in God's program, there was a big shift in the spirit realm. Because nobody understands that, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians are being picked off by the devil, you know? But before that change happened, before that, whatever it was, the shift happened, you know, there's a lot of churches still had a semi-good word, you know? A lot of people were going to church not just to feed their ego or not just to feel religious. They were going to church because they were getting fed. Today, the whole thing is different. Now, the whole system is going in demonic, all just going demonic, totally demonic. And now you got to come out. You're going to be overcome. That was not always the case, as far as I'm concerned. You know. Okay. So, somebody says that's right. I guess they're agreeing with me. Okay. Right. So, I mean, I'm not making a case for going to church, okay? Believe me. Texas. Okay, Harold. Anything good in the church, it was in spite of the church. The Reformation, in my opinion, was the same system of man changed by God to suit man's new desires and revelation. Jesus didn't come to reform, but to do away with the old that he could establish the new. Yes, it was. You're right. The Reformation was a Protestant version of Catholicism. They replaced the priests with preachers. You know, they replaced a bunch of things with the Protestant version of it. No mass. But that's basically it. It was just by the church. Well, there was a lot of good people in the church system, just trying to serve God's people, trying to help them grow. So I believe that's true. No matter how evil the system was, I believe there's good people in there. You know, and God didn't come to save the system. You're right, but he does work with us where we're at. I don't know, Harold. You've been through one bad experience after another with the churches. So I've had a couple of good experiences with, you know, people who have a good experience with the church. You know, it wasn't all bad all the time. So I have a sort of different view of that. But all I know is right now the whole thing shifted. And we're in a whole different program. We're in a whole different level right now. And everything's changed. So whatever was going on before, it doesn't apply now. That much I know. So I would never tell anybody to go to church. I'd never recommend anybody go to church. Even though I like Dave Wilkerson, I would never recommend anybody go to Dave Wilkerson's church. Because actually, I was there a couple times. About, I don't know, 6, 8 years ago, we were there a couple times. And there was all kinds of crazy spirits let loose in that church that he wasn't taking control of. So that's not good. Okay, Perm says, they talk about relationship with Jesus, but the pastor takes over and becomes your head. Yes, that's true. That's true. But he doesn't do that during the week. You know, so who's responsible during the week for not having a relationship with the Lord? That's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the pastor's problem, is it? That's the person. I mean, the person, we all have Bibles. If we're going to go to a church and let a pastor tell us things that are not in the Bible or opposed to the Bible and allow them to tell us that that's all we need, then we deserve to be deceived. I mean, many, many people gave their lives, spilled their blood so we could have the Word of God. And if people don't read it and take what it says seriously, but rather go somewhere else and listen to what man says about it, then they deserve to be deceived. As a matter of fact, that scripture, that one scripture, it says, in the last days, men will fall away from the faith. You notice it says, they heap to themselves teachers. They have itching ears, and they heap to themselves teachers that tell them what they want. Now, in that particular scripture, what's who's bearing responsibility for deception? The leaders or the people? See, the leaders are wrong, very wrong, okay? But you can't dump all the responsibility on the leaders. The people are just as wrong. Because they're lazy, they won't read the Bible, and they want those kind of leaders. So when anybody starts blaming either the people or the leaders too much, I start saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Takes two to tango here. And Scripture says these people are heaping to themselves those kind of leaders because that's what they want. Well, the Bible says you follow Jesus. We're responsible to read the Bible. And if the man tells you something different than God speaks to the Word, then don't listen to the man. You know, if the man's telling you something that's helping you, that goes along with the Word, then take his advice. You know, if you feel a witness to it. But what I'm saying is, it's not just all the leaders. It's not just all the system. If you blame everything on the system, you're wrong. We're all free moral agents. We can look at that Bible and see what the Bible says and compare what those preachers are saying to what the Bible says. People like that guy, what's his name, that says your best life now? What's that guy that has a football stand? Your best life now. What's his name? I mean, they ask for him. That's what they want to hear. That's what they want to hear. You know? Joel Osteen, thank you. Yeah. Your best life now and your worst life later as a result. But people want to hear that. And they can listen to Joel Osteen and then go home and open the Bible and read the section, read the passages where it says you got to die to self, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and all, and see what how Paul lived, see what Paul had to go through, read his life. They're responsible. They can read that and say, hey, this guy's... Irvin said, too many foul, unclean spirits. Yeah. Rebecca says, the elect will come out. Amen. I agree with that. The elect will come out. So, for me personally, I don't feel comfortable dumping it on the leaders or dumping it on the system. You know, I think it takes two to tango. And anybody can read is going to answer for themselves when they stand before God. Nobody's going to stand before God and blame Joel Osteen. That ain't going to happen. They're not going to stand before God's white throne and say, oh God, Joel, I just listened to Joel. The system told me this to Joel. You know, God's going to say, I give you my word. Why didn't you read it? Why didn't you believe it? You know, and you can't blame it on other people. Not all of it. We're all equally responsible. They're responsible, and we're responsible. Just like when Satan gets us to sin, he's responsible, and we're responsible. We both bear responsibility of that thing, you know. So, I mean, wait a minute. Go ahead, Jim. I didn't see you there. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to, I do agree 100% what you're saying. We are responsible. That's, if we don't love the truth, we'll be handed over to that deception. So it is our individual responsibility. I think the problem I have, if it is a problem with the leadership, is if the Lord can speak to just a simple common guy and share these things, I do have a problem with the leadership that would not teach this themselves. I believe they've already been handed over, or they would also be getting the revelation through the Word of God as they're supposed to be studying to feed the sheep. So it sounds like I'm a little bit bitter, and I hope it isn't bitterness, but I try to warn people. So, otherwise, yeah, I agree, Dan.
Amen. I agree with you too, Jim. I'm not saying they're not guilty. What I'm saying is they're 100% guilty, but so are the people. They're 100% guilty, and so is the people. So, but if you feel to warn the people about the leaders, that's fine, because I believe they're guilty. They're guilty of sin, you know. But I also believe the people are guilty. And that's why when you talk to the people and show them the truth, they still listen to you. They'd rather hear that crap than listen to the truth, you know. So I agree that they're guilty of sin. The system's guilty of sin, but so are the people. That's all. You know, that's, you know, really, so I guess we're probably all in agreement, really, basically, I guess. Yellow says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, commandments are not burdensome, but many think they are too hard to keep or say they live under grace, no desire for Jesus or his word. Luke 8, 90, professional clergy. And those people are going to get double the damnation, scripture says. Isn't that what it says? They're going to be held doubly accountable, get double damnation. Proverb says, I so badly want to know the truth, and I believe God honored that by allowing me to have the truth that I do. Amen. Amen. Love for the truth. Most important thing right now. You know, anybody that doesn't receive the love of the truth is going to be damned. That's what the Bible says. You know, so you're right. Amen. And I believe that's one of the reasons God's kept us all these years. Because our first priority is God's truth. Defending it, walking in it, receiving it. And every time we hear somebody preach something or read a book, you know, I'm praying the whole time, Lord, show me the truth. Keep me in the truth. Don't let me receive any error. You know, give me a witness. Give me some kind of discernment. Give me a check in my spirit if I read error. I don't want any error. You know, so follow the truth and have a love for the truth. Desire for truth is very important in this time. Very important. Amen. I sometimes I get weary. See, I personally, I guess when I'm writing my books, I do a lot of research. And some of the research I do comes from fundamentalist websites who have a real good grip on the fact that there's apostasy going on. A lot of fundamentalists, a lot of people see the apostasy, are constantly blaming the leaders, are constantly blaming the system, and the absolving the people who want it that way. I mean, Jeremiah says, my priest minister for money and the prophets prophesy for gain, and my people love to have it so. They take false authority over them. I forget exactly how it goes. You probably all heard that verse. I'm sure you're familiar with it. They assume false authority of them, and my people love to have it so. You know, so like I said, it takes two to tango, and the people are in deception like it. And that's why when you talk to them about it, they can't hear. It's very bad what's happening. And what I agree with Jim said, they're being turned over. Leaders are being turned over, and the people want those leaders are being turned over to that spirit. And all the whole apostolic movement, Rick Joyner, Bob Jones, all those guys, everything that's going on in Vineyard, that's all another spirit. It's not men in the flesh. It's a demon power. It's got these people having visions, seeing dreams, having prophecies, and some of them come true, some of them don't. You know, but that whole realm, I mean, it's just being taken over by a spirit, and it's like nobody understands what's happening. They can't see that it's a spirit. They got all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons why it's happening, but they will not accept that it's a demonic prince that's behind it all. You know, and God's turning people over to that prince because they're playing games with them, walking in rebellion. That's just in Daniel. He overcomes the saints because of rebellion. You know, so it's kind of frustrating to try and get that out to people. It just goes over their head. Either blind because their spirit's on them, or their doctor makes them blind, or whatever. It just goes over everybody's head, and it's kind of frustrating. Again, 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 you say it, and they don't get it. But you just got to keep doing what you got to do. You know, I'm sure you've all talked to people numerous times about something, and it doesn't click right away. You just got to keep doing it as the Lord leads until He tells you to stop or it finally clicks. Amen. Well, I hope I didn't disagree with anybody too bad tonight. Did I get anybody riled up? Oh, good. Would you like to hear another song? Jim says, I agree. I live right next door to Mike. Oh, boy. IHOP. Yeah, I like the pancake house better. IHOP the pancake. It's much better for you. and you cannot warn anyone about this. No, no. That's right. Yeah, he's a real bad false prophet, Mike Bickle. Real bad. Might not have heard of this one. This is a real nice one. It's called Through the Tests. Many valleys ahead to walk through. Many mountains and hills to climb. Through the darkness I cry for the help of the Most High. I need Thy strength, I need Thy life to see me through the test. Trials through every dark mile, in the depths of despair, I the Lord am always there. And in the valleys be still and wait, for I will fill thee with new strength and new courage to press on all the way. Many shakings ahead breakings and tests to endure, and although some fall away, O Lord, keep me in Thy way. I need Thy strength, I need Thy life to see me through the tests, through the trials, through every dark mile, in the depths of despair, I, the Lord, am always there. And in Your valleys be still and wait, for I shall fill thee with new strength and new courage to press on all the way. The valleys ahead to walk through, many mountains and hills to climb. Through the darkness I cry for the help of the Most High. I need Thy strength, I need Thy life to see me through. I live in despair, I, the Lord, am always there. In Your valleys be still and wait, for I shall fill thee with new strength, courage to press on all the way. Many shakings ahead to stand through, many breakings and tests to endure, and
And although some fall away, oh Lord, keep me in thy way. I need thy strength, I need thy light to see me through the tests, through the trials, through every dark mile, in the depths of despair, I, the Lord, am always there. In the valleys, be still and wait, for I will fill thee with new strength and new courage to press on all the way.
My apologies again for the system. What can I say? If we ever get DSL out here in the boonies where I live, I'm going to get rid of that dish that's on my roof. Great song, Dan. Thanks. Great. Good. They're good songs. Okay, we got somebody. Go ahead, Perm.
I wanted to bring up the Antichrist again before we left for the night. I asked Steve this question about the Antichrist last night, and he wasn't able to answer. The Antichrist is only mentioned one time, well, four times in the book of John, the first book of John. And throughout the rest of it, of course, it's not mentioned ever again. So how can you say this leader that comes on the scene at the very end, how can you say that he is an Antichrist? Is that a scriptural way to describe this man, since the Word of God does not describe him as Antichrist? And like I said, I believe that the Antichrist is in the church, and in the church only, because the Antichrist preaches another gospel. And it's not like a world leader. It's like someone preaching another gospel. So if you would just give me some kind of idea what you think about that. Thank you.
I was trying to find some. Give me a second here. You're right. The term Antichrist is only actually literally found in John, 1 John. I just want to show you this. Just consider it. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come." Okay? Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. I believe he says that Antichrist shall come. He's talking about an Antichrist. Okay? A single entity there. There is the spirit of Antichrist, which he mentions. There is the many Antichrists, which are many people. When the spirit of Antichrist gets in a person, they become an Antichrist. And that spirit was in many people in the first century church, so he calls them many Antichrists. That is, many people became Antichrists because they came under the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, is that so far? That's all right? So my point here is, when he says that Antichrist shall come, I think he's talking about a singular entity right there, not the many. If you have a problem with the term Antichrist, that's fine. I won't, you know, I'm not going to argue with you about it. That's fine. But are you trying to say that there's no world leader? Or are you just trying to say his name is not the Antichrist? I don't quite exactly know where you're going. Do you believe there'll be a world leader that's one of the horns on the beast? That is called the little horn in Daniel. Go ahead.
Am I talking loud enough? Can you hear me? Just barely? I'll try to talk louder. There's just so much. The world is looking for an Antichrist. You know, they're looking for a man. And I just think it's just a big deception in the world now for Christians to be looking for the Antichrist when the Antichrist has already been revealed through the son of perdition. That's the false gospel in the church. And that, to me, is the Antichrist. I don't want to argue about it. I'm just very confused about it because I've been studying it for a long time. And I don't see in Revelations where John talks about this leader being Antichrist. I think that it was given somewhere back in church history, and it's just caught on that this man, there's going to be an Antichrist, the Antichrist. I hope that explains it. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Okay, that's no problem. I'm not arguing with you. That's no problem. I just was asking, do you believe there will be a world leader? What do you believe about the little horn and Daniel? What do you believe about the person that there is a person? Do you believe there is a person, whatever your name is? Do you believe that or not? I'm trying to ascertain what you believe. I know you told me you don't believe. Okay, you just don't believe his name is the Antichrist, right? I can't convince you otherwise. Like I said, I believe that John there is talking about an entity, and I believe he's talking about a man, you can't prove it. He didn't say the spirit of Antichrist. He didn't say, little children, this is the last time, and as you've heard, that the spirit of Antichrist shall come. He says, that Antichrist shall come. He didn't say spirit in that instance. So it's possible that Antichrist he's talking about right there is a person. I don't understand why. You don't have a problem with the fact that, right, many people can become Antichrist when they come under that spirit. Why would you have a problem that one man could be an Antichrist that comes under that spirit? That's what I don't understand. Or is it just that you think it's a church tradition, and that's the whole point? Rebecca says, Isaiah 19:4, and all the Egyptians will give over to the hand of the cruel Lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord. Yeah, so she's not saying there isn't a person. She's saying that person's name is not Antichrist, right? You're not saying there's no little horn or the no guy at the end. You're just saying his name ain't Antichrist according to Scripture, right? Go ahead.
I started to type it out, and then I got that. I took the mic. But I'm just not sure. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to figure it out. I see the world looking for an Antichrist. Like I told you earlier, on the History Channel, they have the Antichrist, and we know that most of that is just foolishness. The way they've got it figured out, it's not even biblical. But I just don't see where the Antichrist is mentioned as one particular person in the Book of Revelation, and like I said, it's only mentioned four times in the letters, and that's in 1 John, and it's as a spirit, a number of people that will be. I believe Hitler was Antichrist. I believe George Bush was Antichrist. You know, he came into office and he was quoting Scripture and how he loved the Lord and how he was born again. But his gospel is another. The gospel he believes is totally different from the true gospel. He's Antichrist. He has an Antichrist spirit. But as far as the Antichrist, I'm just not sure about. Thank you.
I understand what you're saying. You do believe there's a guy that's going to be a leader. You believe there'll be one king in the end. That's what I'm trying to ascertain. I understand you don't think his name's Antichrist. But you do believe there's going to be a leader that becomes the leader of the world, that fulfills all the things that the prophecy said about the little horn and all that, right? Okay, that's fine. Okay, well, like I said, the principle is when people come under the spirit of Antichrist, John called them Antichrists, human Antichrist, all right? So based on that principle, I don't see why we're going to call a person an Antichrist, singular. Just like you said, George Bush was not the Antichrist. He was an Antichrist, right? He was an Antichrist because of what he did, what he said. Hitler's an Antichrist, okay? These people are all Antichrist. They become Antichrist, personal, individual Antichrists. So why couldn't the guy that's at the head of the government be an Antichrist, the final Antichrist? That's all, you know. And as far as Scripture goes, you're right. I can't prove to you that his name is going to be the Antichrist because the Scripture doesn't say that. But I don't reject it just because of church tradition, just because that's what the churches believe, and just because the world's looking for a man instead of the Spirit, that's no reason for me personally to reject the fact that there is a man. You know, we agree on all those points. We agree that the world's looking for a man while the church is being totally deceived. They're missing the Spirit, totally. You know? So I agree with everything you're saying, except I don't think I can agree with the fact that there's no scriptural basis. Technically speaking, you're right, no scriptural basis. But I believe a final world leader will be possessed by that Spirit, totally. Because I believe all world leaders who have those kind of empires are possessed by a powerful demon spirit. Can you agree with that? Like when the Persian Empire was ruled not by the man, but by the spirit, the prince of Persia. The Grecian Empire was not ruled by Alexander, but by the prince of Grecia. Okay? Tyre was not ruled by the king of Tyre, but by the prince of Tyre, which is Satan. Okay? So behind every world empire is a single individual man who's being empowered and ruled by and ruled over by and being sustained by a demonic power. I think that's the same thing that's going to happen in the end. At the end, after all these 10 nations come together, and there'll be one man that arises out of all those things and becomes the leader, and he will have that spirit being empowering him. And I don't care what spirit you call it. I don't care what you call his name, but that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a man at the end of the age who is empowered by a powerful demonic prince. And not only that, that prince is going to be the prince. It's going to be a prince that was in the pit and let out of the pit. And it's going to be a head that's revived. It's going to be a head that was dead that was revived. All the heads in that dragon, no, sorry, not a dragon. The heads on the Antichrist, the beast, I won't call it the Antichrist. The heads on the beast there are all kingdoms. Five were fallen before John's day. One was in John's day, which is Rome. And the last empire, the great empire, is going to be at the end. And that last great empire is going to be revival of one of those heads. I don't know if it's going to be the territory of one of the heads or the culture of one of the heads or whatever. But it's going to have the last kingdom, the beast kingdom, is going to be some kind of revival in some way of one of the heads that fell before John's day. And it's not Rome because John, that head didn't fall yet. Okay? So let me see what everybody's saying here. Rebecca says he's called by many different names, but there will be one that arises. That's right. I believe that. You know, Purim says yes, too. Yale says yes. Sounds like we all agree. Yes. I hope so. Just not on the name, okay? Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, peoples, and it's all right. A beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon the name of blessed. So one of those horns becomes the final world leader. Everybody calls him the Antichrist. But see, it doesn't. To me, it's not a big deal. But to you, it is, I'm sure, because you're struggling with it. If it turns out that you can't call this guy the Antichrist, okay, I'll find another name for him. What I see is there's going to be a guy at the end who is empowered by a huge, powerful spirit. Okay, am I back again? Ah, boy. Thou must not like this conversation. Must be upsetting the old devil because he's really cut me off a lot here. Got to keep talking about it. Maybe we'll see what else happens. Yellow 54 says, some think it's the United States who will be brought down wounded, but then brought back up. I heard that from Watchman Report. What I see is, of course, we all have our own opinion, so I'm just telling you what of mine. I'll try it again. Here we go. Am I back on? let's go through this. Since the devil's attacking me like this or doing something here, I'm gonna go to it and put it up just to make him mad. I'll show you how this works again with the demonic power behind the beast, okay? Because in Revelation 17:8, this is what it says. It says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Okay? Now first he says the beast was and is not and shall ascend. Future, right? Can you see that? I'm going to put this up. I'm going to start again real quick and put it up so everybody can see it. 17:8. Okay, you guys read this. If in case I'm cutting out, you can read it. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Okay? And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast. Now notice what he says here. The beast that was and is not and yet is. So first he says the beast was and is not and shall ascend. That's in the future. That means the beast was and is not. It doesn't exist. It shall exist in the future when it comes out of the bottomless pit. Okay? And then he says it's talking about the same beast. The same verse says the beast was and is not and yet is. So if you can hear me still, I'm saying how can that beast be and not be at the same time? That was my question. Anybody know? The beast is manifested through its head. There is the beast. The beast itself has never been totally, fully manifested. Its final full revelation comes at the end of time. But it's been manifested in different ways through these various different empires, through its heads. The head is a manifestation of the beast. Not the total manifestation, but a partial manifestation. So the Grecian Empire, for example, manifested one type of characteristic of the beast. Mainly, you know, it's known for its speed and different things. The Medo-Persian Empire was known for its fierceness and the fact that it was two empires combined. And when God showed it in vision, it was a bear raised up on one end, which spoke one part of the empire was more powerful than the other. Had three ribs in its mouth, which signified the three empires it conquered. You know, so all these beasts, all these heads of this beast, have a particular manifestation. It's a particular manifestation of the beast, but it's not the entire complete manifestation. So when he says the beast was and is not and shall ascend, that's a beast, one of the beast's heads that have already been considered dead, been overcome, been conquered by another nation. It no longer exists. One of the heads no longer exists. And it's actually, the prince of that head is actually in the bottomless pit, which means, to me, that means he's put in the bottomless pit. I think it's probably something like, maybe it was Alexander the Great. When he was overcome, maybe that the demon that was empowering him was put in a pit or something. I don't know. I'm not saying it's Greece. I'm just giving an example. But that's how it could be that the beast was and is not. Okay? It was and is not because it was an empire that was and no longer is by John's day. But then it turns around and says, behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, because the beast also is, because it was being manifested through its Roman head. Okay? It's, the heads are a manifestation of the beast, but not a full manifestation of the beast. They're just partial. That's why one represented something and another represented another. They're just partial representations. So but the one you see the when you see the beast come up out of the sea, it's got a lot of the characteristics of the, all the other empires. It's like that the Paul's, it's like a leopard. I can't remember the scripture, but it's like a leopard. The beast comes out of the sea. It's like a leopard. It's got the mouth of a lion. It's got the, Paul's or something else, you know. And that's what that's saying is this beast comes up is going to end up being the full revelation of Satan. It's going to be the full revelation of the beast itself. So I don't even know why I started on all that except to say the heads are empires. The heads are mountains. Whenever the scripture speaks spiritually, metaphorically of mountains, it always means kingdoms. Okay, and so he says there's these seven heads which are seven mountains. They have seven kings, and five are fallen. That has nothing to do with Rome and the Roman popes because the papacy wasn't even invented when this was given. So I mean, if that was speaking about Rome's seven hills and the popes, that was impossible because the papacy wasn't even invented. You know, so anybody that talks about Catholicism, they're wrong. But there was kingdoms. There was these world empires. There were manifestations of the beast, certain manifestations of the beast. And while they're up there, you can look like this. Take a line, and the body of the beast is below this line. Up pops a head above the line, okay? And that's one empire. That's overcome. And up pops another head above the line, and that's another empire, okay? But the beast itself has never been fully manifested. In the end, the whole beast is going to be above the line, okay? Can you see that? The whole beast is going to come forth at the end. And it's going to be the fullness of Satan's nature. The fullness of the beast nature, okay, is going to come forth. And it's going to have all those other things involved, and all the other single manifestations that were represented by the heads. They're all going to culminate, and the whole thing is coming above the line this time, not just one of the heads. And that whole thing is going to be a revival of one of the heads, either territorially or culturally or something. It's going to be some kind of revival. That whole beast is going to be a revival of one of those heads, but brought forth in its fullness, okay? And those 10 horns, I believe, are this 10 regional, the economic blocks that they're making right now. And the United States and Mexico and Canada is region number one. And then there's 9 other regions. Okay, Europe is another region. China's another region. And they got 10 regions. It's not Europe because the nations that are in and out of European Union, they're all more than 10. And the whole thing's changing all the time. And there'll be 10 again. So that whole thing is not Europe. The world's being dissected and separated right now into economic blocks. The whole thing is an economic system. That's why you can't buy or sell without the mark. The whole thing is, it's religious at the base, but what you see is the economic system. The whole thing is being built on the economic system, you know. And that's what's happening now. All these ten regions of the world are broken up into 10 economic blocks for free trade, NAFTA, CAFTA, and all that, okay. Out of those regions is going to come one, and somehow it's going to unite them all. They're all going to give their power to that one. He's going to be a literal leader, you know. Whatever his name is, I don't know, but he's going to be a little leader, okay? Okay. Creaky says, is that the beast that the woman... Yes, yes. And other thing, yeah, 10 kings. The 10 kings are the 10 kings of that region, those 10 regions, I think. They're on the beast, okay? What you got in Revelation is John seeing things from different angles all the time. You know, he says the beast comes up out of the sea. I'll give you an example, just to help you... get a grip on Revelation somewhat. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Revelation. I have a few little things that God showed me, but you notice we talked about the beast. Twice he says it comes out of the bottomless pit, two different places. But then he also says it comes up out of the sea. Okay? Creaky says, that's what I heard of the world is going to be split up. Yeah, they are going to do that. Whether that's the 10 horns, I don't know. I believe that's the 10 horns, but they absolutely are going to be split up. They're already split up in 10 regions. I mean, I think the United States is the last one to come in, really, actually. But anyway, Israel. The one in Israel has got a problem because they can't integrate Israel into the Arab countries. That's the real problem. But Middle East is one whole region also. When you look at Revelation, you're seeing things from different angles. John's telling you, first John sees the beast come up out of the sea. Okay, the sea, I believe, represents nations and peoples because a woman's sitting on the sea. And he says, the woman that you saw us is sitting on the waters, and the waters are nations, tongues, peoples, and all that. So the beast comes up out of the sea in one place. Yet the beast comes up out of the bottomless pit two other places. You know, well, how do you get that? Well, how do you resolve that? Well, the beast is a spirit. It's let out of the bottomless pit. And it comes up to the people of the world, because the nations of the world are clamoring for world government. The nations of the world want peace and prosperity and security. So they're clamoring for that beast. You know, they're clamoring for that beast. Just like the people in churches are clamoring for false prophets, they're going to get it. And the people of the world are clamoring for the beast, and they're going to get it. Okay? So it comes up out of the sea. It comes up through the sea. The masses of people, the unsaved people that are clamoring for this world government. Okay? But it actually comes, when John goes to describe the beast, that's what John sees. I'm sorry, but when the angel goes to describe the beast, he says something different. He doesn't say it comes up out of the sea. He says it comes up out of the bottomless pit. Because the angel is describing the root of the thing. He's describing the source of all this. You know, what you see, what John saw in a vision, is what we see externally in the natural realm. World government being formed, or world religion being formed. You know, what the angel explained was the root of the thing, the source of the thing, which is a demonic power, which comes up out of the bottomless pit. So it comes up out of the bottomless pit, and arises through the people. Okay, he's just telling you two different angles the same thing. Okay. Yeah, snow and sound like this. I'm sorry. I guess I should probably end it tonight because it's not going to. Anyway, did everybody get what I was saying about the seven heads on the beast? Was I on for long enough of that? Okay. So, Yellow 54 says good night. Good night. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry for the problems. Sorry about the problems. Thanks, Texas. I'm glad everybody came. Sorry about the system problems again. What can I do? Thanks, Irma. Thank you all for coming. Next week, y'all bring your mic, and we're all going to talk, right? Prim says, I used the mic tonight so you know I really have wanted to talk. Great, yeah. Good. I'm glad you talked. All right. I put you through enough torture. We'll see you next time. God bless you.